Matthew chapter 28 to start with. You can see on the screen we're going to be Matthew chapter 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then end up in the Romans chapter 6. Some of this, if you were here this morning, some of this you have already heard. A little bit of. So imagine the darkest hour in human history. As we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, we talk about the resurrection of our Savior, our King, our Lord. The darkest hour in human history, when he gave his life on the cross, was buried in the grave, the hopes of all of his followers seemed to be shattered. Because they had in their mind that something great was about to happen. But what they had in their mind was not the same thing that was going on with God's plan. And they were right. Something great was about to happen and did happen. But it wasn't going to happen the way they expected for that to happen. And after 3 days of being in the grave, we all know that they found the grave empty, as I'm about to read in Matthew chapter 28. And that morning, everything changed. Everything in the universe changed. The stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but to let the world see the tomb was empty. Isn't that great? So I'm going to read chapter 28 of Matthew, the first 10 verses, just to get our minds back on the event. Get our thoughts back in that direction as we talk about this. Verse 1 of chapter 28, Matthew. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying." Verse 7, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Finally, in verse 10, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.'" I don't know about you, but I think it's really easy for us to get into a habit of celebrating Easter and just making it an annual tradition and nothing more. Doesn't mean we don't recognize. It doesn't mean we don't remember why we're celebrating or what actually did happen. But I think in our world today, we have many other things that are fighting for our attention. So just this morning, I just want to remind all of you why we believe this is true. This resurrection of this man, Jesus, who died on the cross willingly, who gave his life willingly for the sins of man. The first point is it's a historical reality. We just read an account out of the scriptures of when it was discovered that he had been resurrected from the dead. His body was not there. An angel of the Lord said he was alive. And the enemies of Jesus could not produce a body. and still haven't been able to. So it's a historical reality that the tomb is empty. You know, they expected to find this corpse, these women. They were going to do what they normally would do, take care of the body. Instead, they encountered a violent earthquake. They encountered an angel whose appearance was like lightning. They saw the Roman guards were like dead men, according to the scripture we just read. Things were not as they expected. I don't know about you, but if you've been around the block at least once in life, you'll find out that things don't go as expected sometimes. Am I right? But just imagine going to take care of Jesus and his body because your heart's broken, because he's not who you thought he would be. And you thought it was all over. And suddenly he's not there. Suddenly there's an angel of the Lord talking to you, saying to you, this is what's going on. The one you're looking for is not here. He's alive. You want to talk about life-changing events? The same thing happens when anybody meets Jesus in today's world. Same thing happens when anybody encounters this truth about who Jesus really is and what he really did and what it's all about. You can't deny it. It's been tried and tried to prove that this is wrong and no one can do it. And it's because he lives. It's because he's not dead. You can't prove it. So the resurrection of Jesus is a verifiable historical fact. It's not a legend. It's not wishful thinking. It's not something that somebody made up. It's the absolute truth of the gospel. So let's just not treat the resurrection as a nice religious story, right? Let's not fall into the trap of just one more holiday on our calendar. Because this event is the center, the absolute center of the gospel. It's the power in the gospel. It's the strength of the gospel. It's what saves all of us from our sins. We need it. So that's point number one. I know y'all aren't used to me getting through a point that fast, but that's what happens sometimes. The second point is, not only is this historically accurate and historically proven, there's many other ways to prove historically that it occurred, but it's also been confirmed by more than one, more than two, but many eyewitnesses right after the fact. Many. When I say many, I mean more than three, almost over 500. And they all tell the same story. They saw him in the flesh. They saw it happen. They touched him in the flesh. They talked to him. Go over to 1 Corinthians, and I'll tell you what Paul said to the Corinthians. In verse 3 of chapter 15, he said, For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So the Scriptures testify. The Scriptures testify, talking about the Old Testament word. Said it was going to happen, and here it is happening. And then in verse 4 he said, and that he was buried. Everybody saw that happen. And that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Again, the Scriptures testifying that this would happen. And here it is happened. And then in verse 5 it says, and that he appeared. This is what Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers. And that he appeared to Caiaphas, then to the 12. All right? There's more eyewitnesses. But wait, there's more. Verse 6 says, after that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Y'all know that people lie. Don't look at me like that. Y'all know people lie. I'm not saying you lie. I'm just saying people lie. There is no way You're going to get 500 people to tell the same lie. It ain't going to happen. Because they can't even agree on what the lie is going to be before they even tell it. But here's 500 people, it says right here in verse 6, Paul's telling to the Corinthians, at one time. And then it says most of them who remain until now, meaning at the time he's writing this letter, they're still around. Go ask them what they saw. Go ask them. He said, but some have fallen asleep. In other words, some believed it at first, but then they talked themselves out of it. Some of them have passed away. Verse 7, then he appeared to James. We all love James because he tells the truth the way we need it. And then to all the apostles. And last of all, he says, to the one untimely born, he appeared to me also. There is no way that this many people are going to tell the same story about what they all saw. It's not going to happen that way. You got historical accounts. You got the angel of the Lord saying that he's alive. You got these women who saw that the grave was empty. And then you got the disciples that they ran and told, and they ran over and they saw that he was empty. They met him on the road. And then he met all these 500 people. There ain't no way you can orchestrate that and get it all to agree. So the gospel is confirmed, y'all. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the resurrection of our Savior. We're talking about the one who went to the cross, willingly put his life on the line so that you and I could live, so that you and I could be reconciled to our God. Isn't that great? Isn't that something? It could rain all day today, and we're going to still celebrate our Savior. It's the heart of the gospel, y'all. We need it. It's got to be true. If it's not true, we're all wasting our time. But we believe it's true. It's absolutely true. It's been proven that it's true. And I'm here to tell you that I met Jesus my own self, and he changed my life. So I know it's true. Because of these witnesses and whatever they were able to write down by way of the Spirit of God, we call it the Bible, we have this knowledge. We have truth. Praise the Lord. We can know Jesus too. We can see him in our life. He can come and live in our life because of all of this. So we should proclaim the gospel boldly to our friends and our neighbors. Sometimes we have to look in the mirror and proclaim the gospel to ourselves, don't we? Straighten up. You're better than that. Jesus died for you. Right? I know I'm not the only one. But there's times you look in the mirror and it's like you're not cutting it. Get it right. Jesus died for you to be better than this. And that's why we have the Spirit of God to help us do those things. We embrace the gospel, we experience the gospel, and then we go preach the gospel. With love, y'all. Don't forget that part. If you try to hit somebody over the head with the gospel, you're doing it wrong. Just love them. Just love them because you see how much Jesus loves us. Can y'all imagine our Savior in the wilderness before he was arrested, talking to the Father with blood coming out of his skin for the stress of it, asking the Father, is there another way? If there's some other way, let's do it that way. Because he saw what was coming, he knew what was coming, he knew the assignment, and he knew what needed to be done for us to be saved. And he said, your will be done, whatever that is. And then he willingly went to the cross. Willingly went to the cross and took it all. And I know he had to know that in the end he was going to have victory over death. In the end, he was going to be resurrected from the dead. Even in that moment when he says to the Father, why are you forsaking me? When he took all of our sins on his own self. Every little one of them. And made himself something that the Father couldn't look at in that moment. But praise God, he said, it's finished. And gave up his life. And as I read this morning, Acts chapter 2 describes how the Father resurrected him from the dead. The Father brought him back from the grave. The Father gave him victory over death. It's impossible for death to win this. Isn't that great? And without Jesus, you lose. Death will conquer you without Jesus. You have no chance. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about, death will overcome you. And you have no chance. The only chance we have is by the power of the resurrection, the power of the gospel, by accepting what Jesus did on the cross as for you. And you step into it. You walk into it by faith. You confess Jesus. You accept him as Lord and Savior. You repent and you get baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Why? Because there's power in the resurrection. I'm talking about some power, y'all. I ain't talking about just turning the lights on kind of power. I'm talking about the power that will snatch you from the grip of death. Y'all with me? Y'all good? I get excited about that. I do. I get excited about that because I know what it used to be like in the kingdom that I was running before I got saved. It looked like a lot of fun from the inside, but it was a fast track to death. So look at this, Romans chapter 6. I'm gonna give you something to chew on, if I haven't already. Had a young preacher one time. He was still in school, and he called me on the phone, and he said, I think it was his third year preaching, full time preaching, and he said, do you ever find that? He said, do you ever find it hard to find something to preach about on Easter? I said, what are you talking about? I was like, wait a minute, wait, hold on, what? And what he meant was, he's saying we preach the same scripture every year. We preach the same thing every year. I was like, yeah, it's Easter. We talk about Jesus, and we talk about his death and his resurrection, and we talk about everything it means. So, yeah, preach the same sermon. Write it down. Preach it every year if you have to. He wasn't troubled. He was just asking, you know. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Okay, here we are. I'm just going to start with verse 1, all right? Because this is going to help y'all if you don't know. I think most of you do. And if you got friends and neighbors that don't know, help them know this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? The answer to that question is no, just so y'all know. May it never be! ! How shall we who died to sin still live in it? It's all about repentance. And then we get into where we can make our point here in verse 3 and going on. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Right? Wait a minute. I thought we said we were escaping death. Didn't I just say we were escaping death through Christ? All right, well, look what he's saying. He's like, look, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. So when Jesus died on the cross, he was taken down and he was buried, because that's what you do with dead people. Everybody with me. Verse 4, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. All right? That's what when we baptize people, that's what the baptismal represents. The burial of the dead you. Because we have to die to live. We can't live until we die. All right, if that confuses you, just hang on. We have been buried with him through baptism, verse 4, into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You see, you cannot have eternal life until you die. And I'm talking spiritual death. I'm talking spiritually, y'all. The only way for me to live is to die. Self has to die. And the old self, the old me, is not the same me that you're looking at today. Because when I gave myself to Christ, I said Jesus is who he is. I believe it with my whole heart. Y'all need to let it get past your mind so your heart can have something to work with. And then let the Spirit of God bring it back to your mind, and so you can know what to do with it. If you try to figure it out with your mind, you'll never get there. That's why we need Jesus. When I come up out of the baptistry, I was walking a new life. I didn't know what to do with it, but I was there. Right? You didn't know it. Don't look at me like you knew. You didn't know either when you got saved. We're all just new believers. We're just like walking around like, okay, what's next? Praising the Lord because we get to be forgiven of our sins. We get to be. We don't have to be. God don't have to forgive you for nothing. But he loves you, and he don't want your sin. He didn't create you for that. It's not what he created you to be. And that sure ain't what Jesus died on the cross for you to be. He died for you to live. In Romans chapter 6, we can find a portion of how Paul describes here. This ain't what saves us. This is how we enter into what saves us. You see, what saves you is Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrecting from the grave. That's what saves you. That's the power of the gospel. Paul's giving us the instructions. He's telling us, here's how you enter into, here's how you receive, here's how you, what we call, obey the gospel. Right? If you believe, then you do these things. Not to earn salvation, not because you deserve salvation, but just because that's the way God has it laid out. That's the way God said to do it. If God said to chew bubble gum and walk backwards for 3 days, that's what we would do. Don't y'all agree with that? If God said to do something and you knew it was what God said to do, you would do it. It didn't make any difference how silly it would be. I'm telling y'all, I want to be saved, and I want y'all to be saved. If you're not saved, I want you to be saved. If you're saved, I want to celebrate with you. Because on Easter Sunday, it's the one day that we make a bigger deal than we already do about the power that saves you from yourself. A power that you're never going to find anywhere else. It not only guarantees our future for eternity with God, but it empowers us to live holy lives now. Right? How am I going to go into the world and do all the things that Jesus taught us to do? Love people. Let's just start with that one. Once we master that, we'll move on to another one. How many of y'all got that one mastered? Love people. Y'all are scared. Y'all are scared. Y'all are great people. Y'all love people. I see y'all love people all the time. But I know, I'm like you, it's like I don't all the time love people, right? Because some people are just hard to love. Y'all know that. I know that because sometimes I'm one of those people for other people. And I'm walking around like, why is that guy such a jerk? It's because I'm hard to love sometimes. Y'all see why we need Jesus. We need the power of the resurrection in our everyday life now. We can't have what we need to do what Jesus died for us to do without this resurrection, without what connects us to the gospel. Sometimes we're so needy when it comes to the gospel. We're always telling God, I need more. I need more evidence. I need to see more. I need to know something. How do I know for sure? How do I know for sure that Jesus actually died? How do I know he was actually dead? How do I know he resurrected from the dead? Let me just say this. If you or anybody in your life is skeptical about the resurrection of Jesus, you have no excuse. Because of technology, you can find any information you want to find, and you can find it in a quick fashion. So go do your research, and I promise you, you will not find any evidence that says this is not true. So I'm just going to challenge you to, by faith, skip a lot of that and just trust God. Just trust God. You say, you know what? If this is true, I'm going to do what it says. If this is true, I'm going to respond the way I should respond. If you got friends and neighbors that are not saved and they're kind of hem-hawing around thinking they know something that nobody else in the world knows, challenge them. Just say, what if it's true? What would you do if it is true? If you found out it's true, what would you do? Right? Because most people in their right mind, most people who are not just rejecting what they already know is true, most people are going to say, well, if it is true, then I would accept him and I would follow what the scripture teaches. That's common sense. And I think when you get a person to say, if this is true, then God's got his holy big toe in the door of their heart and he ain't going to let it shut again. And he will work it out with them. And he will get in there and he will change their life. Because the only real way to know for sure is just to let Jesus in and he will show you everything you need to know. And when that happens, y'all, you will not be able to stop talking about Jesus. Every day you're going to be thinking about him. You're going to be talking about him. Back when I was truck driving, before I started preaching, I would carry a big old fat Bible in my back pocket. And I don't know what happened to me, because I used to walk around talking about NASCAR and football all the time. But I started talking about Jesus all the time. I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Not because I was trying to be somebody important. I just couldn't stop thinking about him. I couldn't stop looking at what he was doing in my life. I got to the point where people at my job, other truck drivers, are like, you're making me sick. You need to stop talking about Jesus. I'm like, really? They're like, everything. One guy come up to me and said, everything can't be about Jesus. I'm like, really? Why not? Why can't it be? That's when I knew the Lord was doing something different in my life. That's when I knew it was real. Because it did. What they were saying to me, these are guys that I used to hang out with, and I used to talk like they talked and walk like they walked and do what they used to do. Now I'm the guy. And they're saying to me, I'm making them sick. That's when I knew something was different. Something was changing. So here I am. What's your testimony? What does Jesus want you to go and tell the world about him? I know all you, most of you are saved in here. How would you tell somebody about Jesus? Right? These women, as we said this morning, the women were there, and the angel rolled a rock away and said, hey, don't be afraid. We just want to show you that Jesus ain't in here, and now go tell people. Go tell people what you haven't seen, what you've seen or haven't seen, right? And they did that. They ran off, shaking in their boots for encountering the holiness of God, and Jesus isn't here anymore. He's alive. So here it is. Here's what we do. The empty tomb proves that this resurrection happened. Right? And by the way, keep it in mind, God don't have to prove anything to us. Am I right? So that tells me that the fact that he is proving it to us, the fact that he is letting us see it, is because he wants us to know it. And he wants us to put our faith in it. Isn't it great how God comes to us and meets us on our terms all the time? He knows. He knows we can't come to him outside of Christ, so he comes to us. The eyewitnesses confirm it. The power transforms our lives from death to life. Because Jesus Christ has risen, death is defeated. And it's sad that there's people in the world that they actually die physically and never accept Jesus. It's about the saddest thing I could ever think of. Because it's not hard. It really isn't that hard just to say, yes, I believe. The problem is we're in the darkness of our sins and we can't hardly see right. We're in the darkness of what sin does to our life, the cancer that sin is in our life, and it's hard for us to get our minds out of the way so God can have our hearts. That's where your friends are and your neighbors that aren't saved, and we need to pray for them, we need to witness, we just need to love them until they see Jesus. So they would know that new life is available, and it's available right now. Isn't that great? So the big idea of the whole sermon, this whole message, in case you didn't know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith. Without that, we're just believing in nothing. That foundation offers forgiveness, it offers power, and it offers hope. And I mean, how can we receive a bigger gift, a better gift from anybody? So if you've never responded to the gospel, if you've never, maybe you've heard it, maybe you even believe it, but you just haven't obeyed the gospel. What I mean by that is all of the disciples, all the apostles, when they're writing these letters and they're talking about salvation and they're talking about Jesus, the question always is, what do I do? How can I have this gift? And the answer is always, if you believe, then you should repent. Stop being an offender of God. Stop building your own kingdom and join God's kingdom. And the only way to do that is to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It's what it says in the Bible. It's all over the New Testament. Everybody in the New Testament that got saved, that's what they did. Because it represents you dying, just like Jesus, and then you're resurrected to a new life. Acts chapter 2, Paul says, do this for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Spirit of God to live in Christ. That's what you have to have. That's it. That's the plan. Obeying the gospel. It's not a works. It's just obeying the gospel. We're saved by Jesus and His blood. We're saved by His death, burial, and resurrection. That's it. I mean, that's the gospel message, y'all. Us preachers spend hours and hours praying about and working on and scratching out stuff and changing stuff like we're saying something, like we're trying to work on these great sermons. And the reality is, Jesus died so you can live. Went to college to tell you all that. I love y'all and the Lord loves you. And I don't want anybody to leave here if you're not saved, don't leave here without dealing with that. If you are saved, don't leave here without celebrating that. Simple as that. Anybody you know that comes to a point in their life where they say, you know what, I need to be saved. I need to respond to this truth. You either bring them up here and deal with it, bring them to your house and deal with it, call me on the phone, we'll meet them wherever they are and we'll deal with it. We'll help them. We'll walk them through it. We'll disciple them, because that's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what Easter's all about, is it not? Y'all excited about that? All right. Let's stand together. We'll sing a song. Invitation. Anybody's got a decision to make, now's the time to do that. Don't waste another moment. You don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow.